Glad you, am I on? Glad you came back this evening. Appreciate that. How about now? Okay. I thought I saw somebody shake their head. Glad you came back. I appreciate that very much. We are continuing what we talked about this morning. If you have your Bible, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 17, we're going to start there here in just one moment. In Luke chapter 17, beginning in about verse 11, you may recognize this parable whenever we, or this story, this account, whenever we read it here in a moment. For that, I came across a story about Rudyard Kipling. Anybody know who Rudyard Kipling is? Jungle Book, right, good. Anyway, he made a lot of money, and somebody came up to him one day and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word." $100 a word might not seem like a lot, but when you calculate how many words that is, and then you calculate when that was written, it's a significant amount of money. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." The reporter cynically reached into his pocket, pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now you give me one of your $100 words." Guy was trying to be a smart aleck. Rudyard Kipling looked at it and grabbed it, said, "Thanks." Thanks. Thanks is certainly a $100 word. We wish people would say thanks more often whenever we do something nice for them. You know, we don't always want thanks. Sometimes it's fine, but when you do something repeatedly, time after time after time, and you don't get a thanks, you don't get any acknowledgement, the person you think feels entitled or something of that nature, it really irritates you sometimes, doesn't it? But we don't grumble about it, right? There you go. We don't grumble about it. But that was the point we were making this morning, and that's what we're going to see here in Luke 17. Before we look there in Luke 17, you remember what passage we mentioned as our springboard this morning? What was the verse that we used? Do you remember? 18, right. And what does it say? There you go. You can tell me. Give thanks in all circumstances, right? Five words in English, three words in the Greek. Give thanks is one word. In is one word. All circumstances or all things is another word. I'm curious, did anybody get anything that really kind of made a difference? If you have a short comment, if you have something small, a very short statement about something that made a difference for you this morning. I wrote a few things down. I study all week and I prepare and I think about these lessons, and there are certain things that are more valuable to me that I present than other things. If you've ever preached a lesson or taught a class, then that may ring true for you as well. But there were a few things that hit home for me and I wanted to share them, but was there anything that hit home for you? Any one phrase or statement? Rebecca?
Coming home and listening to people sing.
Coming home and listening to people sing makes you thankful?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.
The congregation I was in this morning, they did not sing.
Good. Well, here's one of the things. Go ahead, Mark. Yeah, in all circumstances. Same thing that we said last week, right? Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Janet?
Be thankful in the bad times too.
Yeah, in all circumstances, right? And we mentioned Job, and we mentioned Paul, and we mentioned David. David's baby died. Paul was beaten. Job lost all his children, all his wealth. Melissa? Yes. That's right. So if he asks you to do something, then it's something that's within your ability. Good. I appreciate how succinct you're keeping it, everyone. Donna? There's something good, right? Good. If you get robbed, you can be thankful that they didn't take your life, right? You can be thankful that you had money. You can be thankful they didn't get much money, most likely, if you're carrying it, you know. So there's a number of things. Michael? That's right. Because of his sin, yeah. So give thanks regardless. There's a few things that hit me this morning that made more impact than any of the others. Number one, that giving thanks costs something. And I didn't realize that. I hadn't thought about that before, that you're giving thanks, right? So when you're thanking someone, it either costs your time, it costs your energy, it costs money, it costs any of those things or more or all of those things. So giving thanks costs something. Number two, that gratitude is something, just like Melissa said, something everyone is capable of. That God is going to put this in front of you, and if you can't do it, if He commands something, it's within our ability. If He tells us to go into all the earth and preach the gospel to every living creature, then that's something we can do, right? It's not something that's impossible. God never asks the impossible, all right? Because He's got, we read just a moment ago, Caleb read about God sending the helper. It's good that Jesus went, because if Jesus hadn't went, then we wouldn't have the Spirit, we wouldn't have the helper. So He makes us able to do those things with the help of the Spirit. And the third thing is that gratitude is not for all things. We're not thankful for everything. We're thankful in all things. That made a difference for me. And whenever I told that to Rua before I presented it to you this morning, she's like, I hadn't thought about it exactly that way before. But that's true. That's what the text says. Be thankful, give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. So we look at those things, and we look at the fact that the heroes of faith worship through pain and heartache, that David, after his baby was died, that he worshiped God. Job worshiped God. Paul worshiped God. He prayed. All those things. We see all those things together, those things made a difference for me. But we're going to go a bit further this evening, all right? Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he had said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. So they wanted to be cleansed. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. And they were cleansed. Then one of them, verse 15, how many were there? 10. One of them, it says in verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. You see the worship again? When something good happens, when something bad happens, in all things give thanks, in all things worship God, because whatever the scenario is, God still deserves that worship. So he turned around and he praised God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. The reason he says that is because he's telling this most likely to Jews, and Jews hated Samaritans, and he said, this no good Samaritan that you hate, he was the only one who showed any gratitude. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed, where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way, your faith has made you well. My question is, how, if we are the 9, and I have been guilty of being the 9 who are not very gracious, don't give thanks as often as I possibly should, if we are one of those 9, how can we turn ourselves into grateful beings? Rua went to nursing school for 3.5-4 years. She's got her BA. And what they try to do in that is try to train you to respond in a certain way. As soon as something happens, you respond in a certain way. When people enter the Army or the Marines or the Navy or the Coast Guard or the Air Force, the military in one branch or another, they're trying to train you in boot camp to respond a certain way. If someone says, hit the deck, that means you fall down really quick because there's guns going off, right? And a number of things. I'm not a military man. I wasn't one that went through boot camp, so I can't tell you all those things. But the point of all those things is to train you to react a certain way. How can we change our reactions to be gratitude instead of grumbling? Immediately, the first thing we think is to be grateful. That's my question. And I've got 4 ways that I want to discuss with you a little bit this evening. 4 ways that you can turn your attitude to gratitude. 4 ways. Number one, by recognizing its value. By seeing how valuable gratitude is. And we mentioned it very briefly this morning from a secular perspective that gratitude is something that's very valuable, but there's more. Here's what an article on Huffington Post, I got a couple of them, so if you want to see this, you can look at it, and I'll be glad to give it to you. Here's what these articles say. Those who take time to be grateful may enjoy improved sleep, lower stress levels, enhanced overall well-being, and even improved heart health. Practicing gratitude has also been linked with stronger personal relationships, higher self-esteem, and greater life satisfaction. So, if you want to be happier in your life, if you want that, if you recognize that as something that's valuable, then you are showing, or you're one who shows gratitude. You're one who gives thanks. So, if I want to be someone who gives thanks, the first thing I do is to recognize how valuable it is to give thanks. Here's what another article says. This is a little longer. Please listen. A daily gratitude intervention with young adults resulted in higher reported levels of the positive states of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, attentiveness, and energy compared to a focus on hassles or a downward social comparison. So in this study, what they did, they had three groups. They had one group who they encouraged them to write down things they were thankful for. Think about things that happened in this last week, or every day journal about things that you're grateful for. Another one, they encouraged individuals to write down everything that they were irritated about. I want you to record your grumblings. Anything that happens that irritates you, I want you to write it down, and I want you to record that. And another one was asked to write down anything that they thought of, anything that made an impression on them, anything of that nature. And the ones who wrote down the things that they were thankful for were happier, they had more positive states of energy, and all of those things. In an experimental comparison, those who kept gratitude journals on a weekly basis exercised more regularly. So you might be saying, I don't know if I want to be grateful because I don't want to exercise. But here it's a positive thing. All right. You want to exercise because it's good for your health. They reported fewer physical symptoms, felt better about lives as a whole, and were more optimistic about the upcoming week compared to those who recorded hassles or neutral life events. So you come to worship every Sunday, and I've heard some of you, and I've said the same thing, that I have to come to worship on Sunday to recharge. I come on Wednesday night to recharge. I come to be with people so I can hear grateful people who rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, I come for that so I can recharge, so I can face the upcoming week. And that's what it says here, that they were more optimistic about the upcoming week. Keep reading or listening. Participants who kept gratitude lists were more likely to have made progress toward important personal goals, academic, interpersonal, and health-based over a two-month period compared to subjects in other experimental conditions. One more paragraph. Grateful people report higher levels of positive emotions like life satisfaction, vitality, optimism, and lower levels of depression and stress. The disposition toward gratitude appears to enhance pleasant feeling states more than it diminishes unpleasant emotions. Grateful people do not deny or ignore the negative aspects of life. It's like we said, or somebody said to me this morning, that we accentuate the positive, right? And I forget what the second half is, right? What do you do? Eliminate the negative, all right? So more than anything, gratitude helps you accentuate the positive. It doesn't always eliminate the negative. Those negative things are there, according to these secular studies, because when we look at it, we give it to God so it can be eliminated in some ways in our life. They don't have that. They just get some of the good things. They don't eliminate the bad things. So as Christians, we get to have the good things and eliminate the bad things, because it tells us in 1 Peter 5 and other places as well to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. They're no longer ours. We give them to Him, and He takes care of those things, and we trust Him to do that. So my point in all of these things is to say this, that God wants what is best for you. If you want to be a more thankful individual, if you want to be more gracious, if you want to have more gratitude in your life, realize how good it is for you, and realize God asks you to do these things, tells you to do these things, because He knows what's good for you. He made you. He created you. He loves you. He knows everyone who ever existed in the human race, whether we've known them or not. He knows them. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He created every one of us individually. He knows our name. He knows what's good for you. And He knows being thankful is good for you. Number two, if we want to change our attitude to gratitude, if we were one of those nine, maybe we list things for which we are grateful. List things for which we are grateful. Listen to Psalm 103 in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What's another way of saying don't forget? Remember, right? If I want to be positive about it, if I want to think about it another way, if I could say don't forget, or I could say remember. Remember all his benefits. Think about those things. That's what Philippians 4 and verse 8 says. You know it. Whatsoever things are true, honest, lovely, just, of good report. And he goes on, think on these things. Now here's what Psalm 68 and 19 says. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. He gives us these things every day. Or a song that we could sing. How about we just sing it together? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him. Lamentations 3 and 23 says that his mercies are new every morning. So we think about those mercies that are brand new every single day. He showers those things upon us. Think about some of the things that he gives us. He gives us our food, right? What's the prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, right? Stop there. Give us this day our daily bread. Why would Jesus pray for us to receive our daily bread from God if it's not God that gives it? God's the one who gives it. So we realize that we thank him for us. H.A. Ironside, he's a fairly famous old preacher and scholar. He was in a crowded restaurant, and he was about to begin his meal, and somebody came and asked if he could join him. I guess it was crowded, and you know, they needed places to sit. So he said, okay, go ahead. And Ironside then bowed his head in prayer, and he opened his eyes. The other man said, do you have a headache? Ironside said, no, I don't. The other man said, well, is there something wrong with your food? And Ironside said, no, I was simply thanking God, as I always do, before I eat. The man said, oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in. Ironside said, yes, you're just like my dog. That's what he does too. So I don't know if I would respond like Ironside. I don't know if that's a good thing. That's not being a soul winner for Jesus. But here's my point. We are made in the image of God. God created us. He gave us intellect. He gave us language. He gave us thought processes. He made us in our mother's womb. So we are different than all of the rest of the animal world. We need to be different than all of the rest of the animal world. We thank God for his food, for the things that he gives us. But what about our spouse? Proverbs 18 and verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. There's not exactly a passage like that about husbands, but some of you ladies are pretty lucky to be married to some of us men, too. So we thank God, right? We thank God for some of those things, for our food, for our spouse, for the small things that we don't even consider. There was a missionary named Benjamin Weir. He was held hostage in Lebanon and in prison for 16 months. He was in awful conditions. In his first interview after his release, he was asked how he spent his time, how he dealt with the boredom and the despair. And he answered, I counted my blessings. He's in prison. He's in horrible conditions. He said, I counted my blessings. The reporter said, blessings? He said, yes. Some days I got to take a shower. He said, sometimes there were some vegetables in my food, and I could always be thankful for the love of my family. So what did this man who was in prison do? He counted his blessings. So here's one tip. If you want to take something away, if you say to yourself this morning and this evening, if you say, I'm not a very grateful individual, I'm not very thankful, one way that you can do it is maybe make you a journal and start keeping track of the things for which you could be grateful. Oh, try to rack your brain and say, what can I be thankful for today? Well, I woke up. Hopefully that's a good thing. There was oxygen for me to breathe. The sun came up. The plants grew a little bit today. I went to work today, or I got to watch Oprah today. Whatever it is that you want to brag on, whatever it is you want to be thankful about, you write those things down. Maybe even thank God for some of the things that we don't always consider positive. Listen to this poem. Thank God for dirty dishes. They have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we've eaten very well. With home, health, and happiness, I shouldn't want to fuss. By the stack of evidence, God's been very good to us. Do you hear? Thank God for dirty dishes. If you've got a dirty dish, that means that you have a home to put it in. And that means that you had food at one point or another. That means most likely you're not starving. We talked last week about grumblers, and according to one author, there's four levels of life. There are the grumblers, these people who are constantly grumbling and complaining. They can brighten up a room, this author says, by just leaving it. Then there are the ungrateful. That's next to the lowest level. They don't complain, but they just don't give thanks. So this kind of extends from last week. We don't grumble, we give thanks. We don't grumble, we show gratitude. We can't stop at just not grumbling, right? Don't grumble, people. I said that last week, and some of you told me that you struggle with that, that you realized how much you grumble this week. But whenever you grumble, start thinking about your blessings. Show gratitude. That's the second to lowest level. Then there are the grateful. That's the second highest level. Grateful for the obvious. These give thanks for the obvious blessings. Then there are the earnestly grateful, the highest level. Grateful for all things at all times. These give thanks to God for all things all the times. And this author says that's the secret to joy. That's the secret joy. Giving thanks to God at all times. That's what the scriptures say, right? In all circumstances. Number three, and if you want to turn your Bible back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is supposed to be, and I hope this is helpful, I'm trying to give you a roadmap. According to a book by Chip and Dan Heath, it's called Switch, that if you want to encourage people to switch their behaviors, to be more grateful, to be less of a grumbler, to be more evangelistic, whatever it is that you want them to do, you need to tell them, this is how you encourage people to switch their behaviors. Tell them what needs to be done, persuade them, show them, persuade their logic, persuade their emotion, and then shape the path. This evening is all about shaping the path. How can you be more grateful? How can I change myself from one of the nine to the one who said thank you? All right, look in 1 Thessalonians 5 and look there in verse 17. Verse 17 says what? Pray continually, without ceasing, right? Have you ever thought, and I told you one of the most important principles in Bible study is context. There you go. Good. We spent a whole quarter on that. If you got nothing else from that quarter, get context when you think of hermeneutics. The most important rule in hermeneutics is context, right? In Bible study, we think about context, all right? So if we look at the context about give thanks in all circumstances, right prior to that, it says pray without ceasing. Maybe they're connected. Maybe the way that we're more thankful to God is by praying to God. When we do that, what does that accomplish when we pray to God? Obviously, prayer is important. We spent a whole quarter on that on Wednesday nights. We just finished this last week. Whenever we pray, what does that do? Well, it talks to God. It gets it off your conscience. It puts it on His plate and takes it off your plate. And there's a number of other things that it's very valuable, it's very beneficial that we believe in prayer. But one thing that it does is it puts things in perspective. God is God, and you are not. God is God, and I am not. Your preacher can't save this church, can't make this church grow. Your elders can't make this church grow, or we can't stop it from growing. If God wants to do those things, well, we've got to get out of God's way on those things. So what I'm saying is that it puts things in perspective. God is God and we are not. This earth is still going to roll and keep on going through the universe after we're long dead if the Lord doesn't return. There's still going to be a sunrise every morning and a sunset every evening whenever I've been dead and gone 100 years if the Lord doesn't return first. You see? God is God. He's eternal. He never ceased to exist. Now, I'm immortal. You're immortal. All of us are going to live for all of eternity in one place or another, in heaven or hell. But only God is eternal. You see? And only God is omnipotent. Only God is omniscient. Only God is omnipresent. So it puts things in perspective when we pray to God. And that can help me to be more grateful. God, thank you for looking down and caring about me. Thank you for listening to my problems whenever they don't amount to a hill of beans, right? When they don't matter, you still listen. God cares. That puts things in perspective when you realize who God is and that he listens. It reminds us of God's power, that he does answer prayer, that he can do those things. It reminds us of God's presence when we talk to God. That's why it's valuable, and that's why it can help us to be more thankful when we pray. But then there's a fourth way. There's a fourth way. Look again there in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then what follows it? Do not quench the... All right. Yield to the Spirit. Your question now maybe is, well, Daniel, that's good advice. We should yield to the Spirit. But how do we do that? Well, do you remember those spiritual disciplines that we talked about for weeks and weeks and weeks? Richard Foster had them: meditation, prayer, fasting, study, simplicity, solitude, submission, service, confession, worship, guidance, celebration. We didn't talk about all of those, but all of those things. Prayer, meditation, simplicity, study, solitude, submission, service, all of these things and others are designed to make room in your heart for the Spirit. So if we can have a full dose of the Spirit without those things, then by all means, skip those things is what I said. But most of us can't. Most of us need prayer. Most of us need to confess. Most of us need worship. And not only because it refills our tanks, but because God has commanded it and said you need those things. So we listen to him. But that's how we make room for the Spirit. Look over in Ephesians 5 and verse 17. The reason I mention this, and I didn't mention it this morning too much, is it's the same thing. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But back up. If you look in verse 17, it says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, all right? So you see the connection already between 1 Thessalonians 5 and Ephesians chapter 5? In Ephesians chapter 5 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, this is God's Spirit. Or verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, do not get drunk with the wine or with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So in the same context, it's talking about the Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it's talking about the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, it's talking about the Spirit. Where do we get our power? In Christianity, in the church, with Jesus, in our life. It's through the Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit. Right? That's the promise. He's our helper. He's our comforter. Caleb read for us just a few moments ago. And we get him because Jesus went. He's that seal. Now, I can't explain to you all the things that the Spirit does, but that's one of those things. You keep on reading there. It says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart. Part of that is worship. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if we want to be more grateful, we listen to the Spirit. And we do that by studying the Bible. We do that by allowing iron to sharpen iron. There are people here. I've been a Christian for just over 10 years now, I guess 11, 12, I forget exactly. It's about December of 2014, I guess, years. Anyway, I've been a Christian for that long, but there's people who have been Christians for three or four times that long in this room. There's been people who have studied the Bible way more than I have studied the Bible in this room, who read it every day, who are in love with God's Word. So those individuals may be Spirit-filled in some ways, and they can help fill you with the Spirit. And when we spend time around those individuals, they can make us more grateful. When I spend time with someone who has their eyes on Jesus, and that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking to Jesus, looking to the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith, whenever I see someone with their eyes on Jesus and spend time around them, it makes me want to be more in love with Jesus. It makes me want to do right. It makes me more grateful. Whenever I spend time with television characters who are unholy, it makes me do unholy things sometimes. Whenever I spend time with people in the world who are unholy, sometimes I affect them, but sometimes they affect me. If I want to be more grateful, I yield to the Spirit. That's my list of four things. Are there any pithy, succinct answers of how to be more grateful from you? I'll take concise, short answers if you have any. Nailed it, Daniel. Did it all. Those are the four ways. Good. Well, remember what we said this morning. The command for us is to be thankful, to give thanks. But it's more than a command. It's God's will for us, and it's what's best for us. I'm challenging you. I'm begging you. Try it out. You thought this morning, you thought all last week, I appreciate so very much many of you telling me that you were thinking about grumbling this week and thinking about trying to do it less and failing sometimes and succeeding in other times. This week, focus your mind on gratitude. Wake up every morning, at least one morning, and spend the whole day in thanksgiving. I'm thankful that I am in college and have to drive 2 hours or an hour and a half both ways. I'm thankful that I have to go to this lousy job to make lousy money. I'm thankful that I get this lousy job. I'm thankful that I have hair that will not cooperate with me this morning. I'm thankful that I have these things. These things are gifts. These things are blessings. I could have something far less. Remember what we said last week, and it's true this week as well whenever we think about gratitude, that I complained about having no shoes until I met someone without any. So thankful to God for the good things He gives us. He's amazing, and He's blessed you. Bow and pray with me. Father God, You are amazing. Great is Your faithfulness. Morning by morning, New mercies I see. You do amazing things in our life, and we are ungrateful and unprofitable servants so often. We're sorry whenever we haven't turned back and said, "Thank You, Lord." We've done it so often. When You've blessed our life, when You've put good people in our life, and Father, we ask Your forgiveness. We also ask that if there's anyone in this room who is not a Christian or who has needs public prayers or public help, we pray that they'll make it known. It's difficult, I think, for us sometimes, but these people here love You, and we hope that we love each other the way that we ought, and we trust You regardless. We pray that if we do have a need, that we'll let that be known. And we pray that this week that we'll count our many blessings and we'll name them one by one, and we'll see how much that You have done for us. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation is to you. If you have a need, if we can help you, let us know. As together we stand and as we sing.